I don't need to record this, right?
No, I am handling recording.
Okay.
He's a professional.
And
you guys have standards.
Yeah, well, unlike that guy that you normally record with.
Exactly.
He's not listening, is he? Okay.
You're right.
Okay. In, just wait for after the intro music. In 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. It's October 31st, 2011. Halloween to those people who celebrate. And we're once again here for another episode of the Android Buffet Podcast, sponsored by Kevin McLaughlin and GoToMeeting. And I'm once again joined by my glorious co-host, Jerry Jones. Say hi, Jerry.
We're sponsored by Kevin. Oh, of course we're sponsored by Kevin. Yeah, right?
He's
hi,
most,
folks. It's
he's the most generous sponsor.
Right?
Yeah.
You'll have to excuse my getting this. I'm running on about 2.5 hours of sleep for the last 48 hours.
Yes.
My new job's going to kill me.
Well.
But at least I'm employed, so, you know, it's hard to complain.
Yes, and we also have a special guest who I invited. So, Jerry.
You invited.
Yes, well, Jerry, did you know we were going to have a special guest?
I knew we were going to have a guest. I did not realize he was special. And then I saw it when you told me to call him. Game review god. What type of person is a game review god? And then I saw it was Matt Paprocki, and I was just like, wow, he's a special guest.
Somebody with the name of game review god obviously has no ego problem whatsoever, just to clarify.
Just okay. To clarify.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. So, Matt, would you like to introduce yourself to our audience who may or may not have heard of you?
Sure. I have been podcasting for a little bit. I do the Scene in HD show over at the Digital Media Zone. And I am a Blu-ray and video game critic. Been doing that for about, well, obviously I haven't been doing Blu-ray reviews for 13 years, but video game reviews for about 13 years, Blu-ray reviews for probably as long as the format's been around. And obviously I am a huge gamer because it kind of comes along with the territory. Write for a whole bunch of sites. Like I said, I've been doing that for a long time, so a lot of sites have come and gone through my tenure as a freelancer. So, but I'm here now. I'm here, obviously, on an Android show, I guess. I think that's what we're doing, right?
Yes, this is an Android show.
Okay, good.
Well, hey, it's good a fair info. Question. We could be doing a Flying Bathtubs.
We do another podcast where we talk about nothing.
That's not true. We talk about everything.
Everything that is an Android.
There's confusion. There's total confusion now. So I'm glad I got that out of the way to be sure, so I'm focused.
Well, yes. I heard a rumor that you have an Android device.
I do. I have an Android device sitting next to me.
Yes, and I figured since you are a game person, you might be the right person to tell us what sort of games we should play on Android, since neither Jerry nor myself are intensive gamers. Although I hear
that's a good call.
Although I hear that Jerry does very much enjoy games of skill and mental acuity.
I like tower defense games.
Ooh, yeah, tower defense is good. Yes.
Right now I'm going through retro defense.
Yeah, this one's all neon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that one. I haven't downloaded it, but I've seen it.
Well, I wanted to give you the chance to help us out here.
All right, I can do that.
Yes, we also have some random news and some other stuff we normally talk about.
Sweet.
But we will let you go first out of respect for your time.
Oh, I'm going first. I am special guest.
Yes, and in fact, you can say hello. I think I saw that we have somebody in the chat room, Scott HBWT. He said hi.
Well, hello.
Yes.
Random typing person.
Yes, we have a chat room. Isn't that amazing?
Wow, you guys have a lot going on.
Yes, very soon we're going to have our own server.
This is the same setup that you guys over at DMZ have, right?
That's why we're getting rid of it as soon as possible.
Obviously, you like it a lot then.
No.
Well,
I don't like the chat room at Ustream, and the whole the ads are kind of wonky, and no.
Yes, and thanks to a generous donation by the people at GoToMeeting and Kevin McLaughlin, we are going to be, as soon as I get around to it, building a streaming server, which will be available 7 days a week. And since we only use the show 1 hour a week, maybe we should take rentals.
That'd be cool.
You guys want to do your show? You guys want to do your show live? Well, reasonable prices.
I don't think we're ever capable enough of doing it live. I don't think so. We tend to screw up a lot.
Well, so do we. We're live to tape, so to speak. So all of our screw ups, you know, I tried editing the show early on, but I think people enjoy the screw ups a lot more.
Yeah, we're real. We're real people with real problems, and we're not perfect.
Yes.
It adds a sense of authenticity to it.
Yes, and I've just recently constructed the new recording server, which is currently in use in its first initial run.
Yay!
Yes, and in honor of that, as I've promised before, I have hooked up to the entire recording server a record player. So I will be closing the show with a 45, just to show exactly how weird and retro I am capable of being.
Wow.
Yes.
So you're like a technology show, but you're using 45s?
Why not?
I'm confused.
I also, would you rather I pull out the 33s? You know, I have an original copy of Johnny Puglio and his harmonica gang from the 50s.
I'm going to go pop in some betas right now and maybe, you know, combine them with my VHS. Hey, you know, I have 8mm too.
That would have been like beta time. Did you do reviews of betas?
No, I was way. We never had a beta when I was growing up, so we had a VCR. We were definitely top of the line.
Mm. Well, actually, I thought the quality on beta was better than the quality of a VCR.
It was. It was. It was much better. Unfortunately, a lot like other formats, even though it's a better format, it just never won out because it was more expensive, and that's always the key. And you couldn't record beta either, or at least not record the same with the same ease, I believe. I'm not terribly familiar with beta. I mean, I have one, but I'm not terribly familiar with it. But I know price was one of the key things, and I know recording was an issue with beta. So,
do I detect a slight hint of unhappiness that Blu-ray won?
A little bit. A little bit. I think from a consumer perspective, HD DVD was the far better format. I think from the studio perspective, it was cheaper to produce, which was better off for them. But in terms of a technical format, Blu-ray just blows it out of the water. So I guess the better format won for once, but from a consumer standpoint, yeah, it kind of tinged me a little bit. So I do still have a whole boatload of HD DVDs, so oh well.
Mm. Well, time to get out your ripping software.
Yeah, probably. But nope. I am not a digital person, so. Mm-mm-mm.
Well, that's why you need a hard drive where you store them in full uncompressed format.
That's true, but then it's digital. And if I lose that hard drive or the hard drive crashes and I sold all my HD DVDs, see, it's gone.
Well, what if you back your HD DVDs up to Blu-ray?
That could happen. Then I got to get a BD ripper and I got to get blank BDs. Oh, God. That'd be a mess, but it is possible. That will be possible.
But I do want to thank you, just as an aside. You have given new perspective to a great deal of movies that otherwise I might have not had your perspective on.
Thank you. I think that's a compliment.
Yes. Yes.
Or it's ruined your life horribly. I mean, I don't know. One way or the other.
I don't know. I've never been able to enjoy my copy of Back to the Future in Blu-ray now. But then again, after I found out what they did wrong with my version of Back to the Future on DVD, I couldn't enjoy that either.
See? And that one wasn't my fault.
No, that was long before I heard of you.
Yeah. I wasn't special back then.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm Back to the Future, because I happen to have watched that movie as a child, is the only movie I've actually bought on VHS, DVD, and Blu-ray.
Really? You've avoided Star Wars and the usual suspects?
Do you want a copy of Star Wars on VHS? I did buy it when it was re-released, and it's still in its original shrink wrap, I think.
No, I still have mine. I still have mine.
No one ever wanted to watch it with me. I have a whole pile of movies I really should get around to watching. I have the entire, series Dark Skies from the 90s that I've been meaning to watch. Nowhere Man. There are all these shows I remember from the 90s that I got great deals on that I've been meaning to rewatch. Thank you for being somebody who's actually heard of both of those things, by the way. Because it very rarely happens that somebody actually remembers Dark Skies.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
Mm-hmm.
And his co-host is no help because he and I have very different taste.
Excuse me, we both identified an obscure mystery series we both enjoyed.
True.
Yes. So we.
You think it's obscure?
The Black Widowers Club?
Yeah.
Yes, comparatively, considering Asimov was better known for writing science fiction.
Never heard of it, so there you go.
Well, you should get it out of your local library if they still have it in print. I've filled out the forms to get it on a Kindle. So far, no luck.
Alrighty then. I will note that for future reference.
Definitely worth reading. There are a series of short stories that Asimov wrote. He was a very good mystery writer. The basic premise is it is a bunch of people who meet once a month, and they, invite a single guest who tells a mystery-like story, and they all spend the entire story pondering and making suggestions about what the answer to the mystery is until it's ultimately solved by the waiter.
Wow.
Yes.
Cool. Henry is my hero.
Yes. I'm waiting for the movie version.
Most of Asimov's, most of his stuff has been, I don't know what the word is, I want movie-fied. That's not a word, but you get what I mean.
They never did the gods themselves.
No. There's a couple that they haven't, but there's quite a few.
Well, he was a great author. Yeah,
he was.
But I don't think they're really going to necessarily do his mysteries. He also did Murder at the ABA. Now, if anybody could set a murder at the American Booksellers Association convention, it would be Isaac Asimov. Anyway, another book I really should track down a copy of. Maybe it's time to raid the used bookstores.
Or you could just peruse it and then buy stuff. Because if you raid it, you could go to jail, and that would be bad.
It probably would be. But, before I forget, we did have a positive comment on last week's episode from Jeremy. He said, love your show. Keep it up, guys.
Hey, you know, I know it's not a long comment, but I appreciate that he made it. That's for certain.
Yes, and anybody is welcome to send us a comment, an email, or a voicemail. We love getting voicemails.
You guys get comments? What's that like?
Would you feel better if I sent you a comment? I've listened to your show.
What's the one we get that we can't publish?
No.
Was it after your infamous episode with your long, detailed discussion of a movie called Hobo with a Shotgun? Or was it your recent episode about television shows with your former co-host, although the one that you replaced, Adam Thursby, who used to work with Jerry here, on another podcast? Well, that's how I met Jerry. Jerry was on a podcast with Adam, and they invited me on, and that's how Jerry and I met. So that's why I always try to find Digital Media Zone people to invite on, because I feel a debt to the Digital Media Zone.
Nice historical perspective there.
Yes, but I do find it very interesting. What was it? You were petting some sort of fictitious animal?
I was slapping my tiger.
You were slapping this was a fictitious tiger, not a real tiger.
Yes, I would not slap a real tiger. Yes. That wouldn't go well.
So you're telling me that you're surprised that you get commentary on things like that, that you couldn't necessarily put on the air.
Oh, not at all. No, yes. Never. No, I'm not surprised. I'm just saying.
Yes. By the way, just in case you were tempted, I'm told that our affiliate network, the Tech Podcast Network, is a family-friendly network.
Darn.
Well, they've never come after me yet.
Or me.
Yeah, well, I don't think we've really said anything that bad. You know, we're not really a risque show. I'm sure we've did some implied risque statements. But just in case you were tempted to do anything that George Carlin might wish to say, I'm sure, you know, they'd send us a nice letter. And they do have to listen because we are sponsored by the people at GoToMeeting. Yeah.
All the fun out of it.
GoToMeeting. Live.
Faces
HD.
Yes.
HD Faces.
Did you know that in today's fast-paced work environment, getting everybody into the same room for a meeting can be challenging? For example, Matt is in Toledo.
Yes, sir.
Sorry. And Jerry is in Jacksonville. I've been to Toledo, by the way. It was very nice. I came through on the Amtrak train at 4 a.m. They stopped in Toledo. It looked very nice at 4 a.m. A little dark. And then I left.
We do get dark here.
Yeah. It seemed like a nice train station. It was brick, as I recall.
I can't say I've ever been there. I don't know. I've never been on a train around here.
Well, it's a nice experience. If you can ever take a long-distance train ride, it's an experience that you want to say that you've done so you can say you will never do it again. While I am a big fan of trains, I think Amtrak needs more money if they're going to make it a more pleasant experience. The Lakeshore Limited, which runs through Toledo, that I took from New York to Chicago for $33 some years ago, that was what made it worth it to take a train, actually has the nickname the Late for Shore. Yes. But just like that, what is never late is your experience with GoToMeeting. Now with HD Faces, which I think is a wonderful idea if a somewhat silly name. Am I allowed to say that the sponsor's name is silly?
Well,
as long as I like their product, which I do.
You know, they say in computer science, there are really only three hard things.
And what are those three things?
Cache invalidation.
Yes.
Off by one errors.
Yes.
And naming things.
Okay.
Naming things is hard.
Yes, but HD Faces, despite the silly name, offers clear video quality. They say that it's like being in the same room. Admittedly, I don't think I'm that fooled, but I think it is good quality. I think the HD is, you know, a buzzword, but I think it does emphasize that if you have sufficient bandwidth, you can get a really realistic image. Not only that, you can share documents and other things on your computer screen, and you can see their actual expressions. So right now, when Jerry is rolling his eyes at me, were we in a GoToMeeting with HD faces, I would be able to see Jerry and his occasionally disappointed expressions.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to try GoToMeeting, and I want Matt to try GoToMeeting, and I want everybody listening, including, who's that guy in the chat room again? We have a Farooch85 who's joined us, and Scott HBWT. You can join GoToMeeting. And those of you listening at home, you can try it for free for 30 days. Go to GoToMeeting.com and click the Try It Free button using the promo code PODCAST. And that's all I'm going to say about it, because we've gone 20 minutes now, and we haven't actually talked about Nanford yet.
Or I want to know what games I should be playing.
Yes, so I'm going to let Matt tell you, because Matt actually knows what he's talking about, at least in the game category.
Yeah, I would say I know somewhat of what I'm doing.
In that category.
Android's interesting because I've got one, and of course my old smartphone was nowhere near this, so it was kind of my first dive into something this complex. But one of the things I immediately found out, to get something that, you know, I really want to play, something kind of sort of console-like, is really Gameloft. But the interesting thing with Gameloft, even though they're one of the biggest publishers, they're not actually, for the most part, on the Android marketplace. They have, you know, one or two games. I think Asphalt 6 is one of them. It's a pretty cool racing title. But you have to go through their specific store to actually get them. You have to allow, you know, unofficial apps on your phone to be able to run them. And it's a shame, because that's where the best stuff is. Again, the most console stuff. If you want something simpler, no. Gameloft does pretty expansive stuff, generally knockoffs of big console games like Let's Golf 2. They just came out with Let's Golf 3, but my phone doesn't run it. It's just a ripoff on the Hot Shots Golf series on the PlayStation. It's a fantastic knockoff for on-the-go stuff, for just pick up and play for 10 minutes. It's awesome. It's the best golfing experience on the phone that I've found. That and Flick Golf, I'd also recommend.
Can you recommend a game for me?
What do you like?
Well, can you reproduce some of the fun games of my childhood in new Android-compatible formats without an emulator? When I was a child, I'm looking for the latest generation of Tapper. I want to serve beer to random strangers, and I think that idea is due a comeback.
It'd be perfect for a touchscreen, too, because you would literally just tap the different rows and throw the beers down and be done with it. You know, there's not a lot. I know X-Men, the arcade game, is available. Konami released it. I think part of the problem is that the major developers just aren't there. You don't have your Konamis in general. You don't have your Capcoms. You know, Midway's long gone, but anyone who owns Midway stuff, which is Warner Brothers, they just don't have anything there. So,
Namco is doing some stuff.
Yeah, Namco has like Pac-Man Championship, but you don't get anything else really. You don't get like your Galagas. I think maybe Galaga DX is on there. I want to say I've seen it on there before. But you just don't get a lot of the retro stuff at all. Again, the emulators, I think when I first got the phone, emulators were a real big focus of the marketplace. It actually made it very difficult to find what I wanted, because so many people were posting ROMs in different emulators. And I was really frustrated. But now that they've redesigned this marketplace the last time, they've taken all of that away. So it's much easier. And again,
can I get my book back from Nessoid?
Hmm?
They took my emulator off the market and I gave them money.
Oh.
You don't get your money back.
And it's just gone forever?
Well, unfortunately, I rooted my phone and backed it up, but still, it's the principle of the matter.
Oh. See, I lost, I bought Need for Speed Shift from EA, and I don't know what happened. My phone bricked, and I had to get it replaced. When I went to get it replaced, Need for Speed Shift was no longer available, because the version I downloaded, they claimed, was no longer available in my area. But the version that was available. Yeah, the version that is available was $2 more than I paid. So I think they pulled the cheaper version, re-released it as a more expensive one, and basically, you know, took the version I had completely away, and I've lost it forever. So,
which is interesting because technically there's nothing preventing them from doing that. So far, Google hasn't stopped anybody from pulling an app and saying now it's, you know, newer, better, faster, and you have to pay again. Which
I think Google doesn't really regulate it at all. I think that's why a lot of people tend to, you know, veer towards the Android platform. And that's a lot why a lot of people shy away from it, though, too. I think Gameloft was a great example of that. It's just, it's too open of a marketplace.
Well, actually, there was another reason. One of the terms of service for the Android market says you can't have a market offered for download inside the market. So they couldn't take their app, put it in the market, and have it download other apps. That's actually strictly forbidden.
Okay. Good call. I know they do have a, there's a, not an app, but there's like a shortcut you can put on your phone that will link it to their, all the Game Loft stuff. And that's how you can get all their sales when they're on sale. So they got a lot of games on sale all the time. And that's basically how you have to do it, is through that link. And it's a real pain too. The app runs terribly. It takes up way too much space for just something that's really just a shortcut. But it's a shame that they don't have the bigger developers. Those are one of the things I was kind of disappointed with, and I was hoping as time went it would grow. And then you see certain games. I know Dungeon Defenders was really big for a while on Android. It's kind of it's a tower defense title for the most part, but you actually have control over your characters, and you can run around and actually kind of beat up the orcs and things that are running in to try and get your jewel in the center of the stage. You know, that was great. I was like, okay, that's a really cool experience. It's also available on, of course, the iPhone and iPad. But then it comes to the Xbox Live Arcade, and it's like, well, I don't really want to pay $5 for it on the phone if I can get it on the Live Arcade for a couple bucks more. It seems like the best experiences just don't stay on Android very long, and I don't think the phone gets a lot of exclusives either. I'm kind of disappointed in that. I certainly don't want to switch to iPhone, I can assure you of that, but because I'm generally not a big Apple guy. But sometimes the games do kind of have that pull and make me wonder if I should switch, just from a gaming standpoint. Again, it's all gaming for me. I know you guys talk about Android and a lot of other things. I'm not into a lot of the other stuff, because for my purposes, it's basically email, chat, texting, you know, Twitter, Facebook, things like that, and then games. So not to say Android doesn't have a lot of great apps that I could use. It's just I've never really delved into them. So,
well, let's take it from another tact. Ice Cream Sandwich was announced about, must have been about a week ago, Tuesday, in a press conference, and a few of the things they mentioned were that not only will that bring more of a unified operating system in, because they sort of split it for the tablet market, and then are merging it back in, but one of the things they mentioned was support built in for game controllers. So Ooh. Would you be interested in hooking a game controller up to, let's say, your Android device, be it a tablet, which, or let's say your phone, and then taking the HDMI output, which many phones now have, including the one that I'm holding right here, and outputting that to a larger screen and running your game off of your cell phone? And then
that would change things quite a bit. Because I do have a controller for my phone. I actually got one sent to me for review, and I'm sure the person who sent it to me is kicking me right now for not remembering what it was called.
Is it the Game Grip, I think?
It was a Bluetooth one. It might have been Game Grip. Blue.
I think I know the one you're talking about, though. I think it was Game Grip, but I might be misremembering.
Yeah, it's something along those lines. I'm sure you can search Bluetooth Android controller and you'll find it. But it worked well. It was just there were pairing problems with the Incredible, which is what I have, that really didn't let me use it for a lot of stuff. You really had to toy with it and screw with it to really make it work with certain games. There were two or three games that basically supported it straight off the top, and that was great because they worked like a charm. But then everything else, like FIFA 10, which is what I have on here, wouldn't use it at all, even though it supposedly supported it. So is that device that you're talking about something that would be universal? That could work for, like, everything?
Well, it would be USB. Essentially, the newer versions of Android have USB host control. So you'd be able to plug in a USB peripheral using some form of adapter that would take it off of the USB port that's already on there.
That could be cool. I can see a lot of benefit for that.
Even without the HDMI, you're talking about old games. R-Type has been big in the Android marketplace lately.
Yeah.
And it's not an emulated game, but it's fairly faithful to the original. But, you know, playing it with touchscreen controls, at least from the reviews, seems to kind of suck.
Well, I can't speak to that. In the way. I have a keyboard. I can play games without touching the screen at all.
Even then, you don't want a keyboard to play our
time. One of the other versions of the Game Grip, what they did was they put a controller over the keyboard, so that the controls would hit the keys on the keyboard, making it more of a joystick experience. So just that a snap-on. It was a snap-on piece of plastic that would do the same thing, which is interesting because they've been doing that since I had a Visor Prism back in the day.
That's clever. That's a nice way to handle it.
Yeah, well, although I think hardware keyboards don't get as much attention as they should. I think there's definitely a place for a slider. Admittedly, some of them haven't been so good.
There's no room for a slider in my house.
Well, you say that, but I will tell you that every member of my family has a slider. My uncle just bought a Android phone. He happens to be on Sprint, a network that you are on, and he got himself an Evo Shift, which he is very happy with. It has a keyboard.
Yes, it does.
Yes, and by the way, just as a matter of taste, I'm guessing by Matt's statement that he's on Verizon.
Yes.
Correct. Yes. Jerry is a big Sprint fan and loves Sprint.
I love me some Sprint.
Yes.
Sprint does me good.
The only reason I've stuck with Verizon now for 4 years is the family plan, because it's so much cheaper to go that route than individual plans. And on top of that, everyone I know has Verizon, so everyone I talk to, I need no calling minutes whatsoever. So that's a huge, again, money saver.
You know, if you were on Sprint, then every you could call anyone on any network without it costing any minutes.
Wonder if they're interested in sponsorship.
Right?
Yes, as we've said in previous episodes, Matt, when you were not present, our integrity is for sale for a reasonable price.
I can relate to that. Not really. No, never. I didn't say that.
Well, actually, you know, we don't really actually endorse products or people that we don't respect. So that's why, again, our episode is sponsored by Kevin McLaughlin.
Yes.
Who
We advertise GoToMeeting, but, you know, they've got a solid product, so that's okay.
And both of us have used it, so. Although, admittedly, I still have to get around to trying the Android version, which I have played with.
Which is kind of dependent on me, right?
No, my place of business was kind enough to tell me I could use their account.
Cool.
Just, they're curious, too, to see how it would work, although I can't get my work email on my Android phone. We're a BlackBerry company. Not that I have a BlackBerry, because I'm not one of the people who needs one at the company, but all of the people who are issued company phones get BlackBerries. Really worked very well during that BlackBerry outage recently. I didn't really need to talk to management. Anyway, we were talking about Android. I think we often get off topic on this show, but we let that happen because it seems to... no one's ever actually complained about it, to my knowledge. No. If anybody wants to write...
It was so much desired that we spun off another podcast.
We're actually due for one. We didn't do one in October. We keep forgetting to do our monthly podcast where we don't talk about Android because we have so much fun talking about everything on the show.
Yeah, pretty much. So I just want a recommendation for a good tower defense.
You know, the one that's been up at the top now since I've had my phone was RoboDefense.
I played it a while ago and finished it and... You know, been there, done that.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought, too. I didn't really see a whole lot spectacular about it. But there's certainly something that keeps it up there, even with the likes of Angry Birds and all of those. That thing is always up there. I really don't know what it is. There's a new one called Guns and Glory by Handy Games. That's another one that's kind of risen to the top quickly. I haven't actually touched it, but I have watched some gameplay videos. It's got a really great animation style, a really great art style. It's very big and bold and colorful. It looks great. I'm actually looking at it now. It looks like it's, I don't know how much this is. It's free. So there you go. There's all the reason to get it right there.
Is it one of those where you have an open, completely open space and you have to build mazes? Or is it a, have you ever played Grave Defense?
No, but I think I know where you're going. This is one of those where the enemies kind of have a predetermined track.
I like those.
They come down like the streets and side roads and things like that, and you got to set up across the board.
Yeah, those are the kind I like, different maps and stuff.
Yeah, that one's pretty good. I know they did a Western one too. If you search Guns and Glory, you're gonna see two. There's a Western one, and there's the World War II one. The World War II one just I think was their kind of sequel-ish expansion, if you want to call it. It just looks like it's got more troops, more features, different stuff to play with, things like that. So. I'm thinking that's kind of finally taken over RoboDefense. At least I hope it has, because that was really dated. I don't think it wasn't a bad game by any stretch. It's just it's been around for a while, and it really didn't show off what the phone could do. So I think Guns and Glory is finally coming to take its place, and it definitely looks a whole lot better. So
you should on your. I don't know if you like Tower Defense.
Oh, I love Tower Defense.
Take a look at Grave Defense HD, and its graphics are just, orders of magnitude better. I'm looking at the Guns and Glory, just much, much better.
Have you seen Dungeon Defenders?
I have not.
That one's kind of expensive. I think it's like $5-6, but that one's full 3D. I'm sure it probably doesn't control very well on Android. I've played it on Live Arcade. basically, wow, Grave Defense does look good.
Yeah, and it plays really good too. The animations and such, it's and a lot of levels.
Yeah, it does look pretty. Oh, I like the level in the hospital. That's funny. Yeah, Dungeons and Fighters is unique because not only do you have to build things, you have to constantly monitor where the enemies are coming from. Because you need to be there to kind of, you act as the first line of defense, and whatever gets by you will get picked off by whatever you've set up later. You know, you get like traps, you know, board giant 2x4s with spikes on them that you can set up as, you know, spike traps and holes in the ground, a whole bunch of stuff to stop them.
Wow. From those are crazy graphics on Dungeon Defender Second Wave.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great looking title. I mean, I don't know phone wise, you know, what you need for it. But I know mine could run the first one. I don't know about the second wave. I'm sure it could.
Wow.
Yeah, recommended. You know, watch some gameplay videos. That's what I always do, you know, firsthand. That's what I really like about the redesign of the marketplace. A lot of these now have videos, which is a great determination as whether or not you want to buy it.
Are you saying the 15 minutes of gameplay that you get without having to pay for the item doesn't help you decide whether or not you want to purchase it?
Well, wasn't that used to be the case? Didn't they, like, extend that to 24 hours now?
No, they did it the other way. It used to be 24 hours. They reduced it to 15 minutes.
Oh, well, see, the problem with that is, though, some games take forever to download, and sometimes you'll get in there, and they'll have to download additional data. And by the time you're done downloading that additional data, boom, your 15 minutes are gone.
That's why
I wonder if that's a coincidence.
That's why I'd prefer I'd prefer an unlock key. You know, the demo version is essentially downloadable without restriction, and the thing that you have to pay for is, let's say, a separate unlock app. It's a little clunky, but at least it allows you to have a trial version that is time-limited that isn't related to the market refund.
Right, right. I know, but sometimes you go in there and you see reviews for games, you're like, oh, you know, this game's terrible. Why did I purchase this? Oh, now I can't get a refund because, you know, my 50 minutes is up because I downloaded all this data.
Well, they say that it was actually the game developers who encouraged the reduction from 24 hours by saying people would buy a game, play it nonstop for 24 hours, finish the game, and then return it.
Right.
Now,
right.
I could see reducing it from 24 hours, but 15 minutes seems to be a bit short to actually try anything, and I'd rather have it, you know, customizable, let the developer decide.
Yeah, I mean, if you want, like, just a specific number, if that's the way it has to be, I think an hour is more than fair.
Yes.
Because I don't think there's a lot of games out there that don't deliver, you know, over an hour of content. That's a good barrier to determine whether or not you really want it.
Well, what about the Amazon App Store, which doesn't allow you to try out a game on your device, but it would allow you to try it out in an emulator on your computer?
That's a cool concept. I can live with that. It's not the full experience. At least not the same experience, I should say. Not the full experience. Not the same experience.
But is it enough to get a sense of it?
I think so. Like I said, I mean, even gameplay videos sometimes are enough to really kind of decide whether or not you want something. You know, I think the only thing that causes a problem with is that you're not trying it on your phone. And if your phone, you know, has issues, a certain issue with that game, then you're out of luck again. But I think that's a substitute that, you know, kind of bridges a gap that needs to be filled, even, you know, if it's not perfect.
Interesting.
Okay. Well, I definitely think it was worth asking you to stop by.
Thank you.
So we never asked, what game is occupying all of your time?
Most of the stuff I find myself clicking on, I might have 30 or 40 games on here right now. It's anything by Kairosoft. They're kind of, I don't know if they're Chinese or Korean developer, they're one or the other. But they do these just immensely addictive strategy games. The one that hooked me the most by far was Game Dev Story. There's actually a sequel out, but it hasn't been translated yet. It's basically you take over a game development company, and you have to produce products and games on a consistent basis, take odd jobs like, you know, doing movie, computer-generated imagery, things like that. And as you build and build, eventually you can actually build your own console and your own network, and you just keep growing up until the console point. And then, you know, you basically flatline and the game's over. But you level up your employees. There's so many different elements to it that it's just fantastic.
No, I just pulled up Game Dev Story in the market. I'm just reading the reviews for the free version. Cool. Best wish, full version was free. Please, can you make it free? Now, Jerry, as a developer, I don't quite get it. You know, I understand. I like to get things for free too, but why are you commenting that the best thing you can say about a game is, I wish you would make the paid version for free? I wish somebody would come along and give me $1 million. That's not necessarily realistic either, but.
Well, you know, I was once told that if somebody ever starts a conversation with, I wouldn't pay for your software anyway, but here's what you should do. As soon as they say they're not going to pay for your software, stop listening, because they are not your customer. Just saying.
I don't know if it's really part of like the App Store mentality, where so much of that stuff is free, that people get on this kick and think, oh, well, if that one can be free, why can't this one?
Because the developers have the right to decide what, you know, what their money, their time and money is worth. Maybe it's worth an ad. Absolutely. It's worth actual cash. And cash actually is monetized much better than ads in many cases, unless your app is extremely essential.
It's unfortunate. I think it's just like the dawn of the internet kind of did. It's like when Netflix raised their prices, everyone flips out. You know, oh, they don't need the money. They're so popular, but they're shelling out $1 billion for content next year. You know, people don't see that. They just see it. Oh, it's internet. It's coming down the internet. It must be free. And I don't know. I think it's going to be really hard to shake that mentality too.
Well, I have a question for you. It's more of a rhetorical question that relates to this. Is the highway free just because you don't pay to drive on it?
No, because I think you do pay for it.
And no, I'm saying it's the same sort of mentality. It's,
yeah, absolutely.
You pay for it in other ways, but
absolutely. But again, people don't realize that. And you know that again, you drive on the highway all day long. You don't think about it, but it does come out. It's one way or the other. I don't think people understand the time it really takes to create this stuff.
Well, Jerry does. Jerry's a developer, so he has an excuse.
Yeah, no. Even developers don't understand how long it takes to develop stuff. There's a thing called Hofstetler's Law.
He's the guy on Big Bang Theory, right?
No.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
It basically says it will take any task will take longer than you think. This holds true even if Hofstetler's Law is taken into account.
I wonder if I can get that framed. Maybe put that up at work.
Yep. So, Matt, do you play the silly casual games like Cut the Rope or Angry Birds?
Angry Birds is on my phone. I'm not addicted to it like some people. I know my mom is horribly. I honestly don't think she'd ever get rid of that phone at this point. She has an incredible as well. And
obviously a woman
I don't
good taste.
Think her save file probably has 300 hours of that freaking game on there. Casual games are fun. I mean, there's some really good stuff casual wise that I think are great for 10, 15 minutes at a time, which is really what mobile gaming is really about, I think, in a lot of ways. The console experience is really difficult to do, or even something resembling the console experience. So what it comes down to are those casual experiences. That's the reason I think we're kind of where we are with Android games. It's just the Angry Birds of the world, the Paradise Islands, another really, I don't know if I really consider it totally casual, but it's definitely leaning that way, kind of a city creation type game. Anything you basically tap to play, I guess I'd use that term. Those are the ones that really sell the experience, show what the phone can do in a lot of ways, because they're not very visually intensive, but they show you how touchscreens can work in an innovative way and how they can kind of create new experiences, even if they're kind of short-lived. I admit it, I do like Angry Birds. Again, I'm not obsessed with it. I haven't got, you know, 4 or 5 stars where we're supposed to get in each level. But it's fun. It's a nice showcase piece. It was the first thing I downloaded when I got my Incredible, as sad as that is to admit. And one of the Fruit Ninja knockoffs, too, was really another nice little showcase for how accurate the touchscreen is, because that's, as a hardcore gamer, accuracy is kind of a really big thing. When things don't work like they should, it really starts to drive me crazy. And touchscreens are difficult to get right, especially when you need something with a lot of precision. And, you know, Angry Birds shows that it really can work, and when something doesn't work, then, you know, it's the fault of the product. That's all there is to it.
So would you get something, let's say, like an Xperia Play, where there's a built-in gamepad and it's an Android device more purpose-built for gaming?
Oh! Yeti Sports!
He does this all the time.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, he has these, you know, bouts where he forgets where he is and just blurts out things.
kind of like
Have you ever played the Yeti Sports on like the Flash games?
Oh, by the way, I don't mean to interrupt, but I told Adam that you were going to appear on the show and that he should be prepared because we wouldn't stop you from insulting him as much as you wished.
So that's taken care of then.
Yes, I know that's one of your things, so I didn't want to stop.
Yes.
You know, I figured it might be a deal breaker if we said that you couldn't insult Adam.
Just because I couldn't control myself. That's the only reason why. Mm. Not because, you know, I didn't, you know, because I couldn't do it, just because I don't think I could prevent myself from doing it. So.
Okay. Hopefully Jerry isn't offended. He's very close to Adam.
No, not offended.
Okay.
Okay then.
As long as we covered that.
Yeah.
So, I believe Jerry did have a question that I interrupted rudely to point out the fact you were making fun of Adam, how petty of me, but.
Just, no, you didn't. He answered.
Okay. I thought I missed it.
I'm all caught up on Angry Birds and, Cut the Rope. So, yeah. Although Grave Defense just added a new level. A couple weeks ago, and I still haven't gotten in there to play it.
Okay. There's things that need defending.
Yes, there's always something that needs defending.
So I guess we're just not going to get to any news today.
Well, do you want to get through a few bits of news?
No.
Matt,
I wanted to talk about that I just thought was the coolest thing since sliced bread that showed up on the Amazon App Store the other day.
And what was that?
It's a live wallpaper.
And what does it do?
It starts out, it's basically, it gives you a visual representation of how your battery is with an Android guy. And as your battery goes down, the Android melts. And it's really, really well done.
And what's it called?
That might have been Puddle Power, or Power Puddle. PowerPuddle.
And is this a free item or is this a paid item?
It is a free item.
Okay. I can get behind free item, even though I just did a rant about people deserving money. If they're not asking for money, I'm not going to ask them to take my money if they don't want it.
This was one of those examples of an app that's really nice and requires very little programming talent. It requires some significant graphical talent. But the programming talent needed is almost negligible. I'm not saying that the guy that wrote it does not have it, but for writing that app, it was not needed. But the graphics on it are they're really nice. And it's cool. Okay. Power Puddle, people.
Is there any I'm looking at it right now. Is there any customization to it? I mean, can you
nope.
put anything else in the background? Or is it just the little Android dude?
But just the little cute. Android dude.
He's cute. What's wrong with him?
He is, but it'd be cool if you could, you know, customize it with some other, like, an image or, you know, I don't know, something.
You know, just for that, you know, maybe I should send you a complimentary Android for your appearance on the show.
You know what would be really cool? You remember that app where you could make your own custom Android?
Androidify.
Androidify? Yeah, if you could customize your background with your Androidify icon, that would be cool.
That would be cool.
Okay, that's what I wanted to talk about.
Okay, well, I have a few items to go over, and some I'll push off till next week. Matt, do you want to hang around for a few items?
Why not?
Okay, John McCarthy, credited with coining the term artificial intelligence, passed away. He also invented the programming language Lisp.
Which, let's not forget, won the latest Google AI challenge. The contestant that won the latest Google AI challenge was written in Lisp.
I think it's worth mentioning these pioneers of programming as they unfortunately leave us. A few other bits of news. Google Plus is now available for Google Apps with a migration tool coming soon. There's also a new version of Google Plus in the market today, which there'll be more on next week. Google will be limiting the usage of the Maps API for for-profit users and developers whose apps load more than 25,000 basic maps or 2,500 stylized maps per day, which is a lot of maps.
But let's be fully aware, those are the same restrictions they give to web developers.
Pretty much.
Yeah. But if you want to go above that,
yes,
using Google Maps is ungodly expensive.
Yeah, but you know, I think it's generous what they give you for free. A lot of organizations would charge you a lot.
$6,000 a day, you're going to be paying at a minimum $10,000 a year.
And they've said that they'll entertain exceptions, though. So if you give them a good reason, let's say you're a nonprofit or something that's using a lot of map data, they might consider making an exception for it.
Oh, boy.
Hipmunk, which is previously mentioned for its Android app, is adding Google Calendar integration. So you can check flight listings against your personal schedule. So a lot of apps have given you the option of sending your flight data to your calendar, but Hipmunk will now allow you to use your calendar to determine when a bad time to fly is.
Do you think that's legitimate?
Hipmunk is a reliable organization. There are a lot of flight search applications out there, but they are a very interesting one. And they rate based on agony.
Haven't we talked about this before?
Yes. I like their logo because it reminds me of the Flying Bathtubs logo that never came to be. I wish I remembered who it was who said they wanted to draw us a logo of a little squirrel piloting a flying bathtub. in other news, there was an interesting article on giving old gadgets new life, asking the question, are homebrew options and community volunteers a way to protect planned obsolescence? For example, the Nexus One will not be getting ice cream sandwich. Will it live an entirely new life because developers who love the phone will make sure that they port ice cream sandwich to the phone? I have silenced Jerry and our guest.
I just have no comment, dude. I'm sorry.
Well, that's why we're moving a little faster because we spent a lot of time enjoying the wonder of gaming. Google TV is updated. It will bring the market, improve search, YouTube, and more. It's rolling out to Sony devices now with Logitech reviews coming soon, and maybe it will make it so people actually want to buy Google TV products. Or maybe not.
Oh, I know what I wanted to say about our last news story.
Yes.
If the Nexus One is not getting ice cream sandwich, I guess it's a safe bet that my Evo is not either.
Well, then you have the same thing. You will keep your Evo alive by rooting your Evo and installing a ice cream sandwich ROM maintained by an eager developer who wants to make sure that his Evo works.
Which, believe me, I will.
Yes, good idea. From the people at Pew, Americans who own tablet devices use them on average 90 minutes per day. They found that tablets inspire broader and deeper news engagement. A third of users say they are turning to new sources for news on their tablets, and 42% regularly read in-depth news and articles on their devices. Unfortunately, only one-fifth of them pay for content. And out of the 21% who use apps to promote news, it suggests that developers and publishers may wish to spend more time on tablet-friendly sites as opposed to apps that people don't actually use.
That's interesting to me. I'm surprised. If you like, I'm just throwing names out here. If you like the New York Times, you wouldn't download their app. That seems interesting because, I would it's something I read.
Well, let's take my mother, since we've already taken your mother as an example. My mother does have an Android device, and she has the New York Times app installed, but she prefers the mobile site. She thinks it provides a better experience.
Okay.
And I tried to get her to subscribe to the Kindle version of the Times, and she said, does it look like the mobile app? No, it doesn't. Oh, no, thank you. So basically, it's a matter of presentation. A lot of these sources are not presenting the material in a way that people want to see it, which you would think is what focus groups and other things to actually ask people what they want might be worth it. But
the tons of comments they get, they say, fix your app,
Pretty much.
That's pretty much all you ever see, yeah.
Because that's constructive.
It is. Well, it's not. It's constructive in the sense you get a sense that there's something wrong. It doesn't tell you what's wrong.
Yeah.
But let's see what the comments are on the New York Times app. I'll look. Here we are, New York Times for Android. Top app, slow, 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 was fine until advertising began. Now it couldn't populate itself out of a wet paper bag. Who built this thing? If it's any consolation, the support rep I spoke to assures me the iPhone version is just as bad. let's see. Needs work. Good app, but often buggy and filled with obnoxious full screen ads. Harsh way to get to content you pay for. Not useful at free level. Not worth it for free. If I have to pay, may as well get the far superior paper version. I'd love it if they didn't try to update every other day with new and creative ways to limit the content. Each update has made it slower and less stable. Constant crashes, slow to update. Lame app is slow as hell. Sure as hell not paying a subscription for an app that's nothing but frustrating. This app used to work flawlessly. Then they added an opportunity to pay for the New York Times, and now it's super slow to launch and crashes regularly.
Ouch.
Now it wants a subscription. Why bother when you can get the full story online?
You gotta think someone at New York Times is actually seeing this or paying some attention to it.
Apparently not.
This app is a disgrace to the New York Times.
Well, let's also be realistic. Comments in the App Store are historically harsh, shall we say?
I have a paid subscription. I think I'm switching to the Wall Street Journal. Maybe they will respect my screen real estate.
I think you're right. It's kind of the rule that you're always going to get the people who hate the app commenting more often, because people who are just like something generally just don't comment because they're enjoying it, you know?
Well, I still think that it needs improvement, but I think a lot of paper content providers haven't really figured out how to replicate the paper experience in an app. And I think that's because they're trying to replicate the paper experience of making money as opposed to the experience that makes people want to read their publication. Admittedly, if you get one, I'm of the theory you might get the other more efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of reading, there's a petition out to save Google Reader. I believe the new design launched today, but since I was out all day, I didn't get a chance to check it out. It features more Google Plus integration, and it disables a bunch of features, which apparently are used intensely by people in certain countries, such as Iran, where they share important information because it allows them to get around certain firewalls. So if you're interested, there's a link in the show notes. You can click and sign the petition to save the original version of Google Reader.
A petition to save the whale, save the manatee, save Google Reader.
Well, if you're interested in donating, CyanogenMod is looking for server donations in order to help build Nightlies. Speaking of donations. Elsewhere, Sprint issued an update for the HTC devices that had a security vulnerability, which includes Jerry's Evo.
And I have not seen it yet.
Okay. And in consideration of the time, I'm going to skip the latest app news, and we'll hold that over till next week, and we'll do a double app next week. And I'm going to skip to the final item on the agenda, which is a review of the Simple Nook Touch, which is currently being refurbished for $79.99 on the Barnes & Noble site, as well as eBay, and it can be used as a hacked Android device. So I hacked the device using TouchNeuter, which you can download, and basically I was able to turn it into a very simple e-ink Android tablet, which is an interesting experience, because you don't really think of e-ink as a substance that would work for a tablet. But it does work surprisingly well. And it, as I understand it, I didn't look, I believe it has the same basic guts as the Nook Color. So works very well, allows me to install a variety of things. There's currently no custom ROM for it, but I'm sure if somebody's dedicated enough, they might try one. In the meantime, it allows me to install a variety of different reading apps, a browser, and other things that make it useful as a reading device for not just books, which I really don't need the Nook app because I installed the Kindle app on it.
Mm-hmm.
I still find it endlessly amusing. I keep buying Barnes & Noble hardware products with the intention of rooting them, wiping the Barnes & Noble software and installing the Amazon Kindle app. It's, you know, but if Barnes & Noble gets their money, I suppose they don't care. And, you know, I've shown it to several people who are very impressed. I like to impress people with my hacked Android devices.
I'm impressed.
And
I hope they get you a girl.
Probably not. Although I suppose that, you know, if a girl shows up who is obsessed with Android and is aroused by a simple Nook Touch hacked with the Android market, it may be fate.
Apparently, right?
Yeah, well, we'll see. At the very least, that's probably a girl I'd be interested in meeting. That's another story.
So are we out of stories?
Are we out of stories? Well, do you have any questions about the simple Nook Touch? I'll try to get some pictures of that up when I have some time.
The simple Nook Touch is an e-ink screen, right?
Yes, which means the battery life is very interesting.
What does that mean, interesting?
Well, the biggest battery draw on a standard tablet happens to be the screen.
Mm-hmm.
So a simple Nook Touch can actually go, you know, a couple of weeks without charging in its normal operation. Admittedly, you lose some battery life once you start adding applications and such to it, but it still has a, you know, battery life spanning several days.
So, I'm just, have you rooted and ROMed it yet?
Oh, you can't ROM it. Nobody's come out with a ROM. I suppose I could write one, but it's not really my area. I have rooted it, installed the market, added a variety of applications, reconfigured the buttons so that they will control, they'll do menu and back as opposed to left and right.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially I've hidden the original operating system to the point at which you couldn't find it unless you know where to look for it.
Mm-hmm. So what actually can you run on that now that you have it? I guess, you know.
Well, you can't run games, but you can run any, you know, I have a Roku box here, just for amusement, I was running the Roku remote app.
Okay.
So just for amusement, I was controlling a television with it. But
you should try and play a video on it and see how it looks.
That wouldn't work very well because the refresh rate, well, the refresh rate of the ink isn't up to that.
Well, would that mean that it'd be like all black and all white, or all white, or would it be a mixture, or would it be noise?
It would flash a lot. It wouldn't. The refresh rate is not up to video standards. But if the purpose of the device is for you to, let's say, do web browsing, or to read a lot of content from the web in different formats, or to use basic applications, it works very well. For example, if you wanted to use Twitter, which is mostly text.
Or, you know, if you wanted to, I don't know. I'm sorry. I am so tired.
Okay. Do you think we should let Jerry go to bed? Yeah, sometimes I don't let him. Like I keep him up all night sometimes.
No, you don't. It's my job.
Yeah. Well, either way, I suppose we'll again leave the app news for next week, and we will go into our closing segment where we tell people where they can find us. And
you can find me in bed.
Well, just for that, Jerry, if you'd like to leave, I'll tell people where they can find you, and Matt can tell people where they can find him, and you know
on to the end. I'm a trooper.
Okay, well, we said we would allow him to plug all of his various projects,
absolutely,
including his podcast.
Plug away.
Oh boy, it's a whole lot of plugging.
Okay.
family friendly.
Okay.
Oh, well, only if you are not in that family group. See, that doesn't count. You can find my Blu-ray stuff over at doblue.com, video reviews, YouTube/TheDoBlue. You can join us on Facebook at Facebook/TheDoBlue. You can read my gaming reviews over at ClassicGameRoomCGREmpire.com, and gaming news and opinions type stuff over at MultiplayerGames.com and TheMortonReport.com. I'm good.
Wow, that
was
quick.
You're not going to mention your podcast?
I kind of did at the beginning of the show. So.
Okay. Thought I'd give you the chance.
It's kind of redundant. You know, I do have my fee for the show, too. You did agree. It's $87.6 million. We're clear on that?
No, I thought I was going to offer you a little wind-up Android doll, but...
Tough call. That could be worth a lot of money in the future.
How about a free copy of my soundboard?
Okay.
You shouldn't give away things you don't even have.
That's sort of the point. You've been promising me a copy for even longer. I wanted to see if you'd give one to him first.
See if he's cheating on you. I get it. Smart.
No, he has the app in the market. And I'm still waiting for my review version. But just to go over where you find the rest of us, you can leave us a phone call using our voicemail number at 2012-WENECA. That's WENECA. You can, of course, send us an email at podcast@androidbuffet.com or use the contact form on the website. We are available on Twitter at Android Buffet. Of course, I would be available on Twitter at Gadget Wisdom. And of course, Jerry would be available at Jerry_Jones. He can also be found at jerry.jones@gmail.com. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. And we've been sponsored today by the people at GoToMeeting and Kevin McLaughlin. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Kevin. Thank you.
Yes, we are a project of the Weneca Media Group, creators of fine quality online content, who write a bunch of stuff with a bunch of people and don't make any money. So if you'd like to join us, you're always welcome to write stuff for our various interesting sites. Check out, let's see, what random site can I plug today? Check out the latest post on Flight Wisdom. Yeah. Anyway, that said, that brings
us... I have a parting thought.
Yes. What is your parting thought?
24 astronauts were born in Ohio. Right?
Are you suggesting that we launch our guest into space?
No, I'm just wondering what it is about Ohio that makes people want to flee the Earth.
It's very flat. You know, there's a lot, you know how when you're trying to take a leap, you have to get a good running start? Mm-hmm. Ohio is so flat that it's very conducive towards running starts.
I'll take that, but in reality, it just sucks. So
I got good cell reception when I was there.
There you go. There's something.
Yeah. I thought it was the lack of mountains. There are no mountains in Ohio, are there?
No, we have a couple of hills. That's about it.
Okay, and that brings us to the end of our program. Immediately following this program for the live viewers will be a 45, as promised.
Which I will, I'll hang around for.
Okay, well, I picked one that I thought would be appropriate towards your sleeping, Jerry. And for those of you on the recording, to avoid being sued by various copyright people, the recording will end now. Have a nice week.